Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's part two of our weekly discussion about questions that you send to us. You can send us questions to radioprogram@aol.com. By the way, there's another way that you can send questions to us. If you notice on our website, if you use a PC or Mac, not on mobile devices, but when full screen, PC or Mac, when you open up our homepage, you will see a little bar which prompts you to enter a recorded question. And there you can enter a recorded question, and you will have the opportunity to have your question aired on my weekly radio program, and I'll answer it there. So next best thing to a conversation is to pose your question to me live on the air. All right.
All right. All right, we've got an email from Liz. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Your radio programs and website are incredible. Thank you.
That's great.
Your website. Thank you, Liz. There are so many varieties of magnesium that you've discussed over the years. How would one know which one to take for good heart health or to soothe anxiety or just good overall health? Jigsaw, citrate, malate, taurate, and more. Yikes! Help!
Yeah, right. Okay. So let me just say that it doesn't matter that much.
Right.
So,
it's true.
However, there are some preferables that we can discuss.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, okay, the one primarily for heart health, if somebody comes in with high blood pressure or coronary artery disease or mitral valve prolapse, which is very helpful, magnesium taurate. Taurate and magnesium work very synergistically. They tend to actually recycle one another too,
okay,
to some degree.
How do you know
so
that?
So it's very helpful for blood vessel health, the endothelium.
And taurine is an antiarrhythmic. It's also anti-epilepsy.
Anti-epilepsy. Yeah. It's also a bit of a diuretic.
Mm-hmm.
Taurine is good that way
too. Oh, okay.
Taurine is an amino acid. So magnesium taurate is great for that, blood vessel issues. We like jigsaw magnesium, which is one of the most bioavailable, magnesium malate, for a host of everything, from muscle cramps to, it could be for also for anxiety, for sleep, for
fibromyalgia,
bone health, for fibromyalgia.
Because the malate actually may be part, an energy compound that helps the mitochondria in fibromyalgia.
And we like to especially prescribe jigsaw magnesium for those who we clearly see are deficient in magnesium. So it's good for them. Protosorb magnesium we like for things like anxiety or mood issues or sleep. Protosorb magnesium, if you take this at bedtime, your sleep will be absolutely delicious. There is no other word to describe it better than that.
Okay.
The sleep is just wonderful. So protosorb magnesium and magnesium L-threonate has been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier. So that's why it works.
The threonine acts as a carrier.
Yes. So protosorb magnesium is great for brain, mood, insomnia.
A little more premium or expensive form of magnesium, though.
Yeah.
And actually, sometimes we may combine too. Maybe say somebody maybe somebody has, say, fibromyalgia. So we'll do some jigsaw magnesium and maybe some protosorb magnesium together.
Yes. And the citrate form of magnesium is the one mostly prescribed for constipation. Some people tell me, no, the citrate form helps my muscle cramps the most.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's not as bioavailable.
Yeah, and the one that's really not is magnesium oxide, which is the cheapest form of magnesium.
That just floats on through.
Yeah, and it lacks an effect. And that's, but actually, the jigsaw magnesium, at one convention, they were advertising it by handing out these little rolls of toilet paper that had jigsaw magnesium logo on them. The implication being is didn't make you go to the bathroom.
Right.
That kind of like is a little.
It didn't give you the blank.
Yeah, right. Doesn't give you the runs because it's the more certain chelates are gentle on the stomach.
Yes.
And so and now another one I'm going to throw into the mix to add to the confusion. There's a product called Reacted Magnesium, and I like the powder. You can get capsules, but Reacted Magnesium powder is magnesium bisglycinate, which is magnesium glycinate. And that's a form that is less likely, it doesn't, I've taken a fairly large amount and it doesn't have a laxative effect.
Great.
But it's nice as a liquid. So what I do is when I go spinning, I take a bottle of water with me, usually ice water, and I put a little bit of this in and it has a sweet taste.
So it
encourages you to drink and hydrate. Now they really got the flavor down right because it's sweetened with stevia, but somehow it is a type of stevia that's not with that bitter aftertaste, and it's really nice. And in fact, there's a 16-month-old in my family, and we want him to drink and hydrate, but he's also a little tad constipated, so he drinks this, and I guess he gets maybe, you know, not a profound laxative effect, but just enough of a mild, you know, anti-constipation effect from drinking the magnesium. And and he loves it.
It's a powder. Yeah,
it's a powder that dissolves in water, and it's, of course, it's fine. It's, you know, it's natural, made with natural strawberry flavor and something called Rebaudioside A, which is an extract of stevia. So gentle and a good way to get your magnesium, especially like on the bike. You know, I might consider that on the bike, you know, for like a long bike ride, because you might be more prone to muscle cramps or muscle tiredness. And magnesium is a spark plug for muscle.
Yeah, and maybe good recovery for the exercise as well, getting your energy back and all that. So yes, it's very common that we'll have people on two different types of magnesium.
Right.
Like magnesium taurate or Jigsaw, as well as magnesium citrate or the reactant.
Yep.
It's all good.
Yeah. And so that's one caveat is, you know, can you take too much magnesium? And two ways to know. One is you're going to get diarrhea.
Right.
Okay. So, but most people who are intact and generally healthy can handle a lot of magnesium, and your body will absorb as much as it needs, and it won't overdose on magnesium. The one exception is if you're in kidney failure.
Yes.
So if you have a high creatinine, you know, if your creatinine is like, you know, 2.1 or, you know, 2.5, or, you know, if you're on dialysis or something like that, you know, that's, you got to be a little careful about excess magnesium. Magnesium can overaccumulate.
Right, right.
But we give IV magnesium, which is many times more powerful than this.
And Myers cocktail.
Great for migraines, great for...
Migraine. That's another known magnesium deficiency. It's really striking. You know, even before I put them on a migraine diet, like the low tyramine foods or certain other foods that can trigger migraine, sometimes it just helps to get to take care of a magnesium deficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Liz. Okay, we've got an email from Joe. Joe writes, does cataract surgery cure glaucoma?
So the answer is that, you know, first of all, full disclosure, I'm not an eye doctor. But no, the answer is pretty clearly no, that in fact, cataract surgery can sometimes complicate glaucoma, in my opinion. Because, you know, when you have a normal eye pressure, you know, it's easy to get into the eye and futz around. But if you have high intraocular pressure or poor flow of the fluids that circulate in the eye, then cataract surgery becomes more challenging and problematic.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, my mother, who has glaucoma, she's 80.
Yeah.
She had recently cataract surgery, and she needed more follow-up appointments with her ophthalmologist to take care of that glaucoma and get it back under control,
because it was
because
a little
a lot of
it was a little disrupted by the
disrupted.
Cataract surgery.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, it doesn't cure the glaucoma. She still takes her drops, has good numbers and all that, but she has bionic vision now.
Okay.
Doesn't need
so
reading glasses or anything.
Yeah, let's talk about the basic physiology there. The cataracts involve the lens of the eye, which is somewhat in front, and it's behind the pigmented portion of the eye, which is the iris.
Oh, this may explain it. Joe says he's got a new bifocal lens.
Oh.
It's a bifocal lens place. Wow.
So
that would motivate me to have cataract surgery sooner rather than
now,
later.
Because it's like bionic eyes. It's like you can read and you can both. That's great.
Yeah.
So the lens of the eye is in more in the front of the eye. And glaucoma is usually associated with high pressure, but sometimes not associated with pressure. There's something called normal pressure glaucoma, where there's a deterioration of the cup that is where the optic nerve enters the retina. And so the deterioration of vision actually occurs at the periphery. of the eye, as opposed to in macular degeneration, where the deterioration of vision occurs
in
the center, the fovea of the eye. Now, I wrote an article on glaucoma, and the latest finding, and I really listed the nutrients that are plausible for that, niacinamide has been shown to be helpful. And I think there's some new research on our nicotinamide riboside on glaucoma, because some of it is just lowering the pressure, but some of it is preventing the neurodegeneration. So there's a lot of nutrients that prevent neurodegeneration, such as, I mean, there's even literature on EGCG, on resveratrol.
Alpha-lipoic acid.
Yeah, things like that. Potent antioxidants.
Wonderful. Joe, thank you very much for your question.
Okay, now let's give our sponsors an opportunity to share their message. So please listen.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, thank you for listening. And now let's return to questions. What's next, Layla?
Okay, we've got an email from Mary. Mary has eczema. Mary writes, I've enjoyed your program for many years. Thank you. I'm 82, and I've suffered with eczema for 15 years. Started as a small rash on my leg, and it grew to all kinds of places, blotches on my back, torso, etc. Two allergists and three dermatologists advised me to use lots of cream, as my skin is dry, and to apply cortisone creams. I take Allegra, Zyrtec, Hydrazine. Nothing seems to help. Any recommendations? Wow, Dr. Hoffman, if her dermatologist can't help her and her allergist. Mary, has anyone inquired about your diet? First of all, and for very dry skin, which is very interesting. For very dry skin, you want to make sure you're getting enough fats in your diet, number one. Something like a borage oil. I would also add fish oil to your regimen. Mary, what kind of diet are you on?
Thank you for asking that question.
Yeah. Because the diet that feeds eczema is sugar.
By the time some of you will have listened, we will have posted an interview with an integrative dermatologist. I think this is the first time we've done this type of interview. But they are a rare breed. But there is one who has been doing this for as long as I've been practicing medicine. He's going to join us. His name is Dr. Alan Dattner. He practices here in New York and I think in Westchester. He's certainly going to emphasize diet, but that's sometimes the last thing you hear about when you talk to a dermatologist.
That's true. That's true. So Mary, the diet that feeds eczema is one in high in sugar and other refined carbohydrates. Any of our patients who come see us at the Hoffman Center, if they have eczema, it's one of the first things we do is a diet elimination. Oftentimes it's due to candida. This is kind of like candida presenting on the skin to some degree. So it's very important that you go on a lower carb diet, eliminating sugar, refined carbohydrates, even fruit for some people, at least in the beginning, is helpful. Zinc, vitamin C, borage oil.
Good.
Fish oil.
All good. However,
olive leaf.
If all that should fail, there is hope for you. Because, according to the New York Times, March 28th, 2017, headline, Severe Eczema Drug is Approved by FDA.
Oh.
Price tag is $37,000 a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Okay. It is... It is a biologic, you know. So the concern is that it does affect the immune system. And in a way similar to drugs like Humira and Enbrel.
Yeah. There's an autoimmune eczema that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not going to be recommending that unless people look like a boiled lobster and there's nothing else we can do for them. And there are those types of people.
Yeah.
But you know, to give you an idea, that, you know, medications cost $37,000 a year, probably covered by, at least in part, by insurance. But unfortunately, this is the way that we solve our healthcare problems in America, is by developing expensive and profitable drugs and then marketing them. And probably, and believe you me, within a few months, you're going to see ads for this on TV. This is the kind of drug that is going to, they're going to promote heavily because it's a super expensive drug. Notice the drugs that they promote on TV aren't cheap drugs.
Yeah.
They're expensive drugs.
Why are we seeing more and more eczema? You think it's because the upset of the microbiome and antibiotics and...
Hygiene hypothesis to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a form of allergy, autoimmunity, disruption of immune system. You know, and abysmal nutrition.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Mary, we wish you the best of luck. Okay. Oh, this is a wonderful question. This is from Hannah. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a very healthy 23-year-old female wondering how to keep my joints functional for life. I do a combination of weightlifting, boxing, hiking, yoga, all of that, and I work in an emergency department which involves about 5 miles per day of walking. So, is it correct that when it comes to bone health, well, should people my age be starting to take joint supplements now at age 23? I'm also a prospective medical student and would love to be able to advise future patients.
Excellent.
Well, wonderful.
We're so excited that you're part of our listening audience, and we hope that you represent a whole contingent of health-conscious young folks, millennials out there, who utilize the new technology to access health information. Because, you know, in the past, 3 or 4 years ago, the way to access this was on the radio. And then we transferred to podcasts, although still on the radio one day a week. And you know, so I'm very pleased to see that our audience is growing. And not just a carryover from our legacy audience of people who harken back to the days of Dr. Robert Atkins and Carlton Fredericks, and when I began on radio 30 years ago or so. So anyway, so a couple of things on that. She's asking about joint health, but one thing, we don't know so much the answer on joint health, but we do know the answer on bone health, is that bone health actually begins in childhood, and certainly in puberty.
Yes.
And so, you know, some women come to us
hormones.
And they say, I can't understand why I'm osteoporotic. Well, you know, I didn't take steroids, I've been on an excellent diet, I took plenty of calcium, I took vitamin D, you know, for the last 20 years. You know, all these risk factors that one might have. I eat a great diet, but I still have osteoporosis. So I say to them, well, we don't know what happened when you were growing up. Maybe you didn't get, you know, you were bookworm, you stayed inside, you didn't have adequate vitamin D. Or maybe, you know, you...
Or maybe you had an eating disorder, you were quite underweight.
That, any number of those things,
yeah.
You know, so that it could have, in development, you didn't accumulate enough bone reserve.
Yeah.
Because we kind of max out on our bone reserve not long after this person, you know, who's 23, will complete her bone formation.
Right.
It's probably about maybe 30, 35.
Yeah.
You know, when you use a DEXA scan, it's actually compared to a 35-year-old, which is thought to be the age at which women maximize their bone density. Although I think, you know, probably some deterioration occurs before that. So when it comes to the joints, you know, what do we do to fuel healthy joints?
In light of her boxing and hiking and maybe
that's the main
joint
thing.
Pounding. And
that's
all
the
of
main
that
thing.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, unless there's traumatic thing, but a lot of studies suggest that being active, even running, which is a lot of pounding, is not harmful to the joints and maybe somewhat helpful. Now, maybe
it depends on the terrain too, but
you know, maybe you're playing football, you know, with a lot of injuries, you know, chronic inflammation due to injuries is not helpful.
Right.
You know, if you're kickboxing, you can injure your knees quite a lot. You have to be careful. You know, is it useful to take glucosamine chondroitin? Well, you know, Jason Theodosakis is a guy who initially wrote about glucosamine chondroitin. And I know him personally, and he was a tremendous athlete. And he believes as a result of the excessive trauma that by the time he was in his 30s, he was virtually crippled. And that's when he began to use glucosamine with chondroitin and has experienced a remarkable recovery. So following his N of one example, I think he would have been well served during his highly active period to have been taking glucosamine for prevention. And that's what I do. I, knock wood.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock wood. I've been taking glucosamine chondroitin almost since the inception when it first got introduced, which if we think back, it's probably in the 90s, the early 90s.
Wow.
So that would make it, oh my goodness gracious, we're talking 25 years, right?
Wow. Yeah. And it served you well.
I'm thinking it did.
Yeah.
So what are other joint preserving agents? Possibly MSM.
MSM with that combination is actually...
It's one of the reasons I take MSM,
right,
is because MSM and glucosamine chondroitin may be joint protective. And there's so many guys my age who have to give up running because their knees give out. And so far, so good.
Great.
So
fish oil to keep
definitely fish oil
down.
Yeah.
Bone broths. I think bone broth should be the new mug of hot beverage. Whatever,
maybe
your tea or
maybe
your coffee.
Maybe some curcumin.
Some curcumin, make a chai out of, get some turmeric going in your bone broth is a good idea. The collagen, the gelatin, all of that is wonderful for revitalizing joint cartilage.
A patient was kind enough to bring in something. I happen to have it here at my desk. It's called golden paste. And it is something that is organic turmeric powder, coconut oil, and black pepper. And I guess you add it to milk.
Milk.
Because in India, that's the way they have it.
Right.
But I would add it to coconut milk.
Hmm.
And drink warm coconut milk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try that.
It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Because that's a really wonderful anti-inflammatory combination. This stuff looks like super potent. It's like golden paste. So thank you for the party favor.
Oh my gosh.
They used to bring me black dark chocolate, but then I told people that's I only have 100% dark chocolate now, so I don't want the excess sugar.
They're not giving you the 70% anymore? 100% is pretty good, Dr. Hoffman.
Wow. It's hardcore.
It's hardcore.
It's hardcore. Hardcore. It's, you know who? Somebody else I was interviewing. Oh, Gary Taubes. I heard him lecture. He lectured at the Cato Institute, which is interesting. Cato Institute is a libertarian group, politically. Very, well, I don't think you really call libertarians to the right, because they're not true. The right wing doesn't agree entirely with libertarians.
That's true.
Some people think they're the true conservatives, and other people, so they're very, politically, they're isolationists. They're sort of non, so they don't really go with the
classical
playbook.
Libertarians?
Yeah, classical libertarians. So anyway, why should he lecture before a libertarian group? Because he addresses a governmental failure, which is the government's inability to properly define guidelines, and, whatever the government gets involved with, according to libertarians, goes awry. And he perfectly illustrates that. So he was talking about, people ask questions after his presentation about sugar and the evils of sugar. He wrote a book called The Case Against Sugar.
Yeah.
And people ask him a little bit about what he does. And he said, I eat dark chocolate, but it's 100%. And I thought, man, this guy's a kindred spirit. So I ran up to him afterwards and I told him I had dark chocolate 100%. And please come on the show. And so we're arranging to have him come on the show.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. He's really a good guy.
Yeah.
And he's lean and healthy. I think he's approximately my age. And he looks like he walks the walk. He really embraces that low-carb lifestyle. And I think he eats sort of a paleo diet.
He does. He does. He's been doing that, I think, for a long time now.
So he embraces
writing about it. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
So do we have such a thing as a quick question before we get into a long digression?
Not really.
Not really? Dr.
Hoffman,
such a thing as a quick question. So, okay. All right, that's fine, because that gives me an opportunity to remind our listeners that these podcasts are free. So we love that you're listening to them and that you access them. And by the way, our podcast community is growing by leaps and bounds. We had 160,000 downloads last month, and that's a record, and we continue to grow. We thank you.
It's wonderful.
We only ask that you support our sponsors. And you can find our additional sponsors at our website at drhoffman.com. and that you consider helping, at least in part, to subsidize the expense of producing these podcasts by shopping at the Hoffman Center store, where you can obtain many of the products that we talk about here, some even hard to get on the conventional marketplace. No, they're not all available via Amazon.com. Some are exclusively available to doctors, and we offer them to listeners as well as to patients. So check it out, and thereby support your health in two ways, by continuing the existence of these podcasts and by obtaining quality supplements. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great week. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.